Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 1, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are in verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 starts out with the great doctrine of the fear of the Lord. Verse 11, therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present. The Apostle Paul is a spiritually mature believer, perhaps the greatest believer of the church age. The Apostle Paul has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He has advanced to spiritual maturity. He is a spiritually mature, faithful communicator of the Word of God. And therefore, the Apostle Paul has maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. And the Apostle Paul has fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, Paul has learned about the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that Paul knows the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present. Fearing the Lord, maximum occupation with Jesus Christ, is the great motivator in the Apostle Paul's life that motivates him to fulfill his apostolic ministry. And this is true for every faithful communicator of the Word of God. It is what the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter. Do you love me, Peter? That is, fulfilling the doctrine of fearing the Lord. Do you love me, Peter? If you do, then feed my sheep. Every faithful communicator that has advanced to maturity and fears the Lord, that loves the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what motivates every faithful communicator to study and teach and study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. The motivation is that they totally understand the doctrine of fearing the Lord. So verse 11 again, therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that I know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present. And then Paul says, we persuade men. This is the present active indicative of the verb patho, plus the accusative plural of the noun anthropos. We have the verb patho. P-E-I-T-H long O. Patho. First of all, point one, patho means to persuade or to convince. To persuade or to convince. Two, patho is the teaching of the Word of God in such a way that the grace and truth of the Word of God is made very clear. Patho is the teaching of the Word of God in such a way that the grace and the truth of the Word of God is made very clear. Three, the Apostle Paul's teaching of the Word of God was patho. First of all, he made the grace gospel clear. He was surrounded by Judaizers, legalists, who had distorted the Mosaic law into a system of salvation by works, that you weren't saved unless you kept the works of the Mosaic law. He was surrounded by these kind of people, and they opposed Paul. Everywhere he went, they opposed the Apostle Paul. He had lots and lots of opposition that attacked him because he taught the grace gospel. Salvation by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Four, Paul's teaching of Bible doctrine was patho. He made the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures clear. He taught the grace and truth of the Word of God. So Paul's teaching of Bible doctrine, the Word of God, was patho. He made the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures clear. And he constantly taught grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. Five, the fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ, was the motivation. That's what motivated Paul in the ministry. It motivated him to persuade men, patho. First of all, persuaded him to communicate the grace gospel that the unbeliever might be reconciled to God. Turn over to 2 Corinthians. Well, you're in 2 Corinthians 5. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, Be reconciled to God. The royal ambassadorship of the royal family of God is to present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So the fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ, motivated the Apostle Paul in the ministry to persuade men to be reconciled to God, 2 Corinthians 5:20, and to fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, to grow up spiritually in the grace orientation, and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the noun anthropos, and anthropos is the generic term for mankind. It includes all mankind, men and women. It includes unbelievers, and for the unbelievers, the Apostle Paul taught the grace gospel. It includes believers, and to believers, the Apostle Paul taught the grace and truth of the Word of God. The present tense is linear action, Sart. We keep on persuading men. The active voice, Paul and Timothy and Titus and Apollos and Silas, were all, Paul and his team, they were all faithful communicators of the Word of God that performed the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this from the viewpoint of reality. So the corrected translation, therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present, we keep on persuading men. And then we have in the King James, but we are made manifest unto God. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the perfect passive indicative of the verb phanerao plus the dative singular of theos. Now the post-positive conjunction de is a conjunction of contrast. D-E, correctly translated, but as Paul faithfully communicated grace and truth, the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, he met with a lot of opposition from Judaizers, legalists. The conjunction of contrast death sets up a contrast between what Paul's opposition thought about him with what the living and true God thought about him. And the faithful communicator of the Word of God never pays any attention what those who oppose him think about him. The only thing that matters to the faithful communicator of the Word of God is what does God think about you? As a faithful communicator of the Word of God, you live your life as unto the Lord and not as unto mankind. And then we have the word phanerao. P-H-A-N-E-R-O, long O, phanerao. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, in the active voice, phanerao means to reveal, to make known, to show. Reveal, make known, to show. That's the active voice. But in the past point two, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be made known. To be made known. Three, Paul declares we, and we is Paul and Titus and Timothy and Apollos and Silas, Paul and his team of communicators, we are well known to God. We have a lot of opposition, yes. There are a lot of legalists that are running us down and attacking us and telling that we teach false doctrine and we teach a false gospel and we are opposed constantly. But Paul declares we are well known to God. And then so we have phanerao and then the dative singular of theos to God. The dative case is the dative of destination recipient. Point four. The principle is man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at your heart. The issue is what you are in the inside, not what you are on the outside. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at our heart. Five, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Apostle Paul and all of his team are thinking grace and truth, grace and truth. Six, as God examined Paul, Timothy, Titus and Apollos' heart, he saw their virtue love. He saw their personal love for God the Father, motivational virtue. He saw their impersonal love for all mankind, functional virtue. He saw their occupation with Jesus Christ, that they feared the Lord. So as God examined Paul, Timothy, Titus, Apollos' heart, he saw in their heart virtue love brought to completion in their heart, that they had fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, that they were spiritually mature, faithful communicators, faithful servants of the Lord. Seven. However, Paul's opposition, and there were many, many who opposed Paul, attacked Paul, maligned Paul, slandered Paul, gossiped about Paul. There were a lot like that. But every faithful communicator, if you are faithful in communicating grace and truth, you will always have those who will slander, malign, judge, gossip, attack you, oppose you. That is true. It doesn't mean anything to the faithful communicator. All that matters is what God thinks, not what people think. Paul's opposition were emphasizing the outside. They were emphasizing the works of the Mosaic law. How? What? Are you fulfilling the works of the law? That's the issue for salvation. To keep the works of the Mosaic law. That's a false gospel. That's salvation by works. Paul taught salvation by grace. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. No man is justified by the works of the law. Justification is by faith alone in Christ alone. So all of those who opposed Paul, they thought he was teaching a false gospel. He was totally wrong. So Paul's opposition, Judaizers, were emphasizing the works of the Mosaic law. But Paul was emphasizing the grace and power of God. Paul was emphasizing the inside, salvation by grace, spirituality by grace, the spiritual life lived by grace, the spiritual skills, the filling of the Holy Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, and executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. So at this point in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11, the Apostle Paul is picking up what he taught back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 1, 12, now our reason for confidence is this, namely, the testimony of our conscience. The testimony of our conscience that in experiential sanctification, spiritual maturity, and purity of motive from God, and absolutely not by means of fleshly wisdom, but by means of the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, you believers in Corinth. So he's picking up what he taught back in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. The perfect tense of phanerao is the intensive perfect. And in the intensive perfect, emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on the present state or condition resulting from a past action. It can often be translated by the English present. We are well known to God. That's how it should be translated here. But we are well known to God. The passive voice is the voice of grace. Paul and his team have received the action of God examining their hearts. And therefore, they are well known to God, that they fear the Lord, that they have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. The indicative mood is declarative, seen from the viewpoint of reality and certainty and fact. So the corrected translation, therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present, we keep on persuading men, communicating the grace and truth of the gospel and the God-breathed scriptures, but we are well known to God, well known to God that we do fear the Lord. And then he says, and it says in the King James, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. This is the conjunction de with the conjunction chi, plus the present active indicative of elpizo, plus the perfect passive infinitive of phanerao, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative plural of sune deses, with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun, su. Now, when you have conjunction de, combined with the adjunctive use of the conjunction chi, it's correctly translated, and also, and then the verb elpizo. Elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z, long O, elpizo. Elpis is the word hope. This is the verb that it comes from, elpizo. So one, elpizo means to hope. It means to hope for. It means to expect. It means to have confidence. To hope, to hope for, to expect, to have confidence. Two, the Apostle Paul has been consistently and faithfully teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God to the believers in Corinth. The Apostle Paul has been consistently and faithfully teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God to the believers in Corinth. And so, three, Paul is saying, I hope you're getting it. I hope you're getting it. Point four. Paul has absolute confidence that some of them are getting it, that some of them do have the grace and truth of the Word of God in the consciences of their heart. So Paul has absolute confidence that some of them are getting it, that some of them do have the grace and the truth of the Word of God in the consciences of their heart. Five. However, from the opposition that he is facing, he knows that some of them are not getting it. However, from the opposition he is facing, he knows that some of them are not getting it. The present tense has linear action, Sartre. I keep on having confidence. The active voice, the Apostle Paul performing the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, seen from the viewpoint of reality. The verb phanerao is then repeated. And I keep on hoping that we are also well known, and I keep on hoping that we are also well known, preposition and, in sune desis with the personal pronoun soon. Sune desis is conscience, su is your consciences, in your consciences. So, verse 11 now sounds like this. Therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present, we keep on persuading men. But we are well known to God, and I keep on hoping that we are also well known in your consciences. Now in verse 12, we have the Apostle Paul's opposition. Verse 12. So by way of introduction, one, Paul was always facing spiritual opposition. He was always facing spiritual opposition. Two, there were many Judaizers, many legalists in self-righteous arrogance who hated the Apostle Paul. They attacked Paul. They accused Paul of teaching false gospel and false doctrine. There were many Judaizers, legalists, who hated the Apostle Paul. They attacked Paul, accused Paul of teaching the false gospel and false doctrine. In reality, these legalists were teaching a false gospel and false doctrine. Three, Paul says, I'm not writing to you to tell you how great I am. I'm not writing this to you. I'm not writing 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians to you to tell you what a great believer I am. Four. Paul never got into self-justification. He never went around promoting himself in self-justification. Five, Paul was not in the ministry to emphasize who and what he is. Paul was not in the ministry to emphasize who and what he is. Sixth, Paul was not in the business of commending himself. He was not in the business of commending himself. Seven, rather, his fear of the Lord, his personal love for God, his occupation with Jesus Christ, that's what motivated him to consistently and faithfully communicate the grace and the truth of God's Word. And he did. He communicated the grace gospel. He communicated the grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. So rather, it was his personal love for God, his occupation with Christ, his fearing the Lord that motivated him to consistently and faithfully communicate the grace and truth of God's Word. Second Corinthians 5, verse 12. For we commend not ourselves again unto you. This is the present active indicative of the verb soon istemi with the objective negative ou plus the adverb palen plus the accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun, su. So we have sunistemi, but it's very important. Sunistemi is with the objective negative u, which slams the door. We absolutely are not commending ourselves. Sunistemi. S-U-N-I-S-T, long E-M-I, soon istemi. All right? First of all, soon istemi is a, point one, is a compound verb made up of the preposition soon, which is with, and histemi, which is the verb to stand. So point two, literally, soon histemi means to stand with someone. To stand with someone. Three, as a transitive verb, it means to bring together, to unite, to collect. Four, then it came to mean to present, to introduce, to recommend someone to someone. To present, to introduce, to recommend someone to someone. Commendation, to commend, commendation. Five, in our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12, with the objective negative ooh, which slams the door, we absolutely are not commending. We absolutely are not commending. And then the reflexive pronoun heautu. My pen slipped. Heautu, H-E-A-U-T-O-U, heautu, reflexive pronoun, ourselves. We absolutely are not commending ourselves, heautu. And then the dative plural of the personal pronoun, su, to you. you believers in Corinth. And then the adverb Pauline again. So the corrected translation, we are absolutely not commending ourselves again to you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf. We have the conjunction Allah plus the present active participle of did or me, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su, plus the accusative singular of aforme, plus the genitive singular of kaukema, plus the prepositional phrase huper, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. All right. The conjunction of contrast, Allah. A-L-L-A. Allah. Strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, translated but. It sets up a contrast between absolutely not commending themselves with an occasion to be proud of Paul and his team. And then we have the verb didomi. D-I-D long O-M-I. Didomi. A didomi means to give. It means to give in the sense of to grant, to bestow, to impart. But the key here, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 192, says, in many expressions, the translation is determined by the noun it's related to, and that is, the noun is aforme. A-P-H-O-R-M, long E, aforme. And aforme means occasion. Give an occasion for something is what we have here. Give an occasion for something. And in this case, give an occasion for kaukema. K-A-U-C-H, long E-M-A, kaukema. And kaukema means to praise someone or to be proud of someone. Dative plural, the personal pronoun su, to you, you Corinthians. The preposition huper plus the genitive of the personal pronoun ego concerning us. In the interest of us, in behalf of us, about us. So, we are, at corrected translation, we are absolutely not commending ourselves again to you. We have been there and done that. But we are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us. We are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us, that ye may have somewhat to answer them who glory in appearance. That's the thundering diction of the King James. We have the hina plus the subjunctive of the verb echo plus the prepositional phrase pros plus the articular present middle participle of kaukaomai plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of prosopon. All right, hina plus the subjunctive. H-I-N-A. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause, and you translate it, for the purpose that, and then the verb echo, E-C-H, long O, echo. And echo means to have and to hold or to possess. And in our verse, it means to have in your heart. To have divine viewpoint thinking in your heart. To have grace, grace orientation, and truth, doctrinal orientation in your heart. When you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you will have an answer for all legalists, all self-righteous legalists who look at the outward appearance, who look at what you are on the outside, what you are doing, how many works you're doing, but not what is in your heart, the fact that you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, the fact that you fear the Lord your God. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But they can't see that. What they look at is you on the outside. This is how legalism, self-righteousness works. So when you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you will have an answer for all the legalists who look at the outward appearance, what you are on the outside, what you are doing by way of works, but not what is in your heart, fearing the Lord, occupation with Christ, virtue, love. The present tense is a customary present. Believers who have maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts customarily manifest this divine viewpoint thinking. The active voice, believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, perform the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood goes along with hina to introduce this purpose clause. And then the preposition pros plus the accusative means to, towards, face to face with, for. And the object of the preposition pros is the, this is what's cool about the participle. It can function as a verb, an adjective, or a noun. Here, it is a noun that's the object of a preposition pros. So we have the object of the preposition pros is the articular present middle participle of kaukaomai. K-A-U-C-H-A-O-M-A-I. Kaukaomai. One, as a transitive verb, kaukaomai means to boast about, to mention in order to boast of something. To boast about, to mention in order to boast of something. That's the transitive verb. In other words, it takes an object. Two, as an intransitive verb, which is what we have, it means to glory, to pride oneself in or about a person or a thing. To glory or to pride oneself in or about a person or a thing. Three, kaukaomai describes the self-righteous arrogance of the legalist. It means, kaukaomai means to boast, to glory, to pride oneself in or about a person or a thing, basically themselves. This verb describes the self-righteous arrogance of legalists. Four, they pride themselves in. And then that's N is N plus the dative of prosopon. P-R-O-S, long O, P-O-N, prosopon. And prosopon literally means face, countenance. It's used for external things. It's used for appearance. It's used for what is seen on the outside. It's used for works. It's used for keeping the works of the Mosaic Law. So that's prosopon. It's used in our verse for external things, appearance, what is seen, works, keeping the works of the Mosaic Law. So the corrected translation, for the purpose that you may have in your heart divine viewpoint thinking to answer those who pride themselves on externals, appearance, what is seeing, the outside, the legalists, those in self-righteous arrogance, those who look on the outward appearance but make the issue what's on the outside instead of what's on the inside. God always emphasizes what's on the inside in your heart. So for the purpose that you may have in your heart divine viewpoint thinking, to answer those, the legalists, those in self-righteous arrogance who pride themselves on externals, on the outside, on what is seen, on appearance, and not in the heart. And this is the conjunction chi plus the negative may plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of cardia. The conjunction chi is the continuative chi, correctly translated and. The negative may, not. The preposition and, in, cardia, well, that's the key. That's what God is constantly examining. God is constantly examining your heart. Not your pump, the heart, the right lobe of the soul. That's what the Lord is examining. And the thing is, that's an anthropopathism. God isn't right now examining your heart to see what in eternity past, before you were ever here, He knew all about what was in your heart. Every day He knew. He knew when you grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He knew if you advanced to maturity, had fearing the Lord, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all occupations of Christ. He knew that in eternity past. He knew if you were a mature believer in eternity past. If you had a soul full of Bible doctrine, He knew that in eternity past. But it's put in terms that you and I can understand. That He's examining your heart now. He's not examining it now to find out. He knew about it. But He examined the inside. God emphasizes what goes on in your heart. That's the key to being a winner believer. So cardia, heart, the right lobe of the soul, and the heart is the target, the objective for the believer's consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. So verse 12 says, we are absolutely not commending ourselves again to you. We've been there and done that. But we are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us for the purpose that you may have in your heart divine viewpoint thinking, grace and truth, to answer those who pride themselves on the outside, externals, appearance, what is seen, and not on the heart, what is in your heart maximum metabolization of Bible doctrine. Do you get that? This is a great verse. We are absolutely not commending ourselves again to you, but we are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us for the purpose that you may have in your heart divine viewpoint thinking in your heart to answer those who pride themselves in externals, legalists, self-righteous arrogance, on externals, what's on the outside, what's seen, appearance, but not on the heart, not on maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. So, one, the believer's mental attitude and thinking should be the same as that of our Lord Jesus Christ. The believer's mental attitude and thinking should be the same as that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Your thinking, your mental attitude, your thinking should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, what is the Word of God? The Word of God is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the voice of the Spirit. So when you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you have the mind of Christ, and you are thinking the same as Jesus Christ. Point two, what Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12, is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine, grace and truth. What Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians 5:12 is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The mind of Christ, divine viewpoint thinking, the Word of God. Three. Man looks at the outward appearance, what is seen on the outside, but the Lord looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, what is seen on the outside, but the Lord works at the heart. Turn over to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. And Samuel was sent by the Lord to anoint the next king of Israel. Verse 6, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, tall, dark, handsome. Eliab, tall, dark, handsome, in the military, had his military uniform on. And Samuel thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But, verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Oh yeah, he's tall, dark, handsome, in the military, and he's a reversionist. The issue is what's going on in here, in the heart. That's the issue. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The heart. What is the target of the Word of God? The heart. You have these Bibles. The target of the Word of God is to get it in your heart. I don't care if you have a Bible. You can have a Bible. You can have notebooks and all kinds of things. The issue is not thy word have I hid in my notebook that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So man looks at the outward appearance, what is seen, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7-4. The Apostle Paul had many opponents who attacked him constantly. They attacked his teaching of grace. They attacked his teaching of a grace gospel. They attacked his teaching of the grace and truth of the Word of God. They attacked his teaching of the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is lived only by the power of God, divine power, God the Holy Spirit. 5, Paul's opponents emphasized the external of keeping the works of the Mosaic law. That's what they emphasized. What are you doing by way of works? What are you doing? They taught a false gospel, salvation by works. They taught false doctrine. Spiritual growth by works. Spirituality by works. 6. Paul, however, emphasized the inside. The indwelling and filling of God the Holy Spirit. The filling of God the Holy Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Paul emphasized regeneration, being born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. No one is justified by works, the works of the law. No flesh, Galatians 5:16. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace. Through faith in Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. And he taught spiritual growth. By living the spiritual life. By the spiritual skill. And getting maximum metabolize doctrine, the mind of Christ, in your heart. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3:3. In fact, let's start at verse 2. You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts and known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. God the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit is the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Metabolize doctrine in your heart. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. A man is not a true Jew if he is only one outwardly. Nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a true Jew if he is one inwardly, on the inside. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and not by the written code, the Mosaic law. And such a man's praise is not from men, it's from God. 7. The Lord is constantly examining your heart to see if you have been living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, to see if you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. The Lord is constantly examining your heart to see if you have been living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills that have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. 8. The justice of God always bases any function of justice on His knowledge of the situation, His omniscience. He is the omniscient, all-knowing God. And therefore, He is constantly searching your heart, examining your heart to see if you have the grace and truth of the Word of God in your heart. Well, there's a lot more here. This is a very, very powerful verse. And we'll pick it up here and look at the rest of it. I still haven't concluded verse 12. We're almost done, but not quite. We'll continue next week. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.